The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In Megillas Esther, it states, La'ehudim ha'isa ora v'simcha v'sosin v'kora. And to the Jews, there was Ora, light. Also, there was Simcha Sosin Vikor. They had joy, but the first thing it states is that the Jews had light. After the miraculous salvation from Haman. This is written in Megillas Esther Ches, Posuk Tezayin. The Gemara in Megillah, Masechet Megillah, Tavtezayin Omid Beis, states what does it mean that they had light? Zutera. Light refers to Torah. There was a celebration of Torah. Because it states in Mishlei, Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, that light designates Torah. The question is, why did they have light? What does the light of Torah have to do with the miracle of Purim? So this is explained by Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. And the Gemara brings in Shabbos in Perkei Rabbi Akiva and Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph that when Klal Yisrael came to receive Torah on Har Sinai on Mount Sinai, which was on Shavuos on the sixth of Sivan, it states Vayishatzfu Betachti Sohor. They stood underneath the mountain. What does it mean underneath the mountain? The simple sense is at the bottom of the mountain. But the pasuk in the Torah states Betachti Sohor, underneath the mountain. Omer Avdimi Barchama Barchasa Melamed Shekof HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Esohar Kegigois V'Omer Lehem Im Atem Mekablim Matei Remutav Im Lav Shom Teik Furaschem. So Rabbi Avdimi tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Israel, he picked up the mountain, lifted it up, and held it over them. And he said, if you'll accept my Torah, good. If not, I will drop the mountain on you. And this will be your burial place. And that's what the Gemara brings, was that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it states, Yom HaShishi, on the sixth day, he said that it shall be night and morning of the sixth day. He referred to a specific sixth day, the sixth day of Sivan. If Israel will receive the Torah, accept the Torah at that time, then the creation will be. But if not, I shall return the creation to Teyev Vavoyo, to what it was before, total void and nothingness. Now the Gemara asks on that, if that's the case, then Omer Avacha by Yaakov Mikam Meidar Abba Lo Raisho. If that's the case, so then how can you ever punish Klal Yisrael? If they do something wrong, they can always say, we never accepted your Torah willingly. You forced us. You forced it on us. So the Gemara says, Amarov Afal Pikein Hodaki Bluhu V'Meach HaShverish. At a later date, they accepted it even without being forced. They accepted it in totality willingly. And when was that? That was during the time of Achashverosh, during the time of Purim. As it states, Kimu v'kiblu ayehudim. In Esther Tess, it states that they fulfilled and they accepted the Jews. Kimu mashiklibu kvar. What is the double expression? Kimu v'kiblu. Kimu mashiklibu kvar. That they totally accepted what they had began to accept before. So we see that on Purim there was a special light. La'ehudim ha'isa ora. And that light was Torah. And what does that refer to? Because they came to a further level of Kabbalah Satera, of the receiving of Torah, on Purim than they did on Shavuos. On Shavuos they accepted Torah and mitzvahs, But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them. And on Purim, they accepted it totally through their own will. Now, the main feature of Kabbalah Satera, of the receiving of Torah by Yisrael and Har Sinai, was what we learn in Parashas Mishpatim. At the end of Parashas Mishpatim, Shmeis Chof Dalet Posuk Zayin, it states, Vayikach Sefer Abris Vayikra Bozne Om Vayimru. And Meshi came and he took the Sefer of Torah and he read it into the to the nation, and they said, Vayomru, Kol Asher Dibar Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma, that whatever Hashem has spoken we shall do and we shall hear. We will do and we will hear. Naaseh V'Nishma. The Gemara brings also in Masechet Shabbos in the same place, Shehigdimu Naaseh L'Nishma. They should have said that whatever you ask us to do, let us hear what you want, and then we will tell you if we will do it or not. Usually, if somebody asks you to do something, you say, yes, what is it? And then I consider if I can accept it or not, if I can do it or not. But they didn't say that. They did not say Nishma V'Naaseh. We will hear what you have to say and then we will do it. But they said, Naaseh V'Nishma. We will do and then we will hear. And the Gemara says, Higdimu Naaseh L'Nishma. That they preceded by saying, first we will do and then we will hear what you have to say. The Gemara brings that this was the very extraordinary feature of Kabbalah Satera. Dorash Rab Simoy, Bishar Sheikdimu Yisrael Naaseh L'Nishma, that when Klal Yisrael first said, we will do, and then we will hear what you have to say, Bo Shishim Rabu Shel Malachi Ashors, 600,000 angels came, Lechol Echad Ve'Echad Mi'Yisrael Kosher Le Shnei Ksorim, and they had, each one had two crowns, and he put two crowns on every Jew, Echad K'neged Naaseh Ve'Echad K'neged Nishma. One crown because they said they will do, and the other crown because they said, we will hear what you have to say. Then the Gemara says further, B'shoa sheikdimi Yisrael nasa l'nishma yotzes baskol. At that time, a voice of heaven came down, V'omro lehem, and they said, Mi gilo livnei roz zeh, shemalachi ashoris mishtamshin boy. Who revealed this secret to Yisrael, the secret that the angels of Hashem use. As it states, Osei Dvorai, Baruch Hashem Malach of Giburei Keach, Osei Dvorav, Lishmaya Bekol Dvorai. First they do, and then they listen. Bereisha Eisei, Vahoda Lishmaya. This is what the Malachim, what the angels do. Who revealed this secret to Klal Yisrael. So we see this was the main feature of the receiving of the Torah, or the extraordinary feature. And in this Kabbalah Satera, in Purim, they came even to a higher level. Now what does it mean that they Higdimu Naaseh L'Nishma, that first they said we will do and then they said we will hear? The Gemara brings a case. It says, Ahud Stuki, there was a Stuki, he was one who denied Torah and Hashem, the Chazil Rova to Komain Bishmaitzo. And he watched Rova was one of the rabbis of the Gemara, who was learning Torah. V'yatzva etzboso didei tusikaro. And as he was studying Torah, his hand and his finger was beneath his leg, his thigh. He was pushing it inadvertently, and he didn't realize how hard he was pushing it. And he was pushing his finger so strongly that it started to bleed. And he didn't realize this because he was so involved in Torah. Omalei, so this duki, this person said to Rava, I'm a pesiso. He says, you're a wild nation. You're a not a disciplined nation. And that's why you're capable of doing something like this, that here you're crushing your own finger because you're so involved in your learning and you don't even realize it. And he says, in this quality, your forefather said, Dekad miso pumaicho ladunaicho, where your mouth spoke before your ears heard. Akati bechazusaicho kemaiso, and you still have this, your nation still has this quality of wildness. Bereishi boi lechule mishma, first you should have listened. Imotzise kablise vilele kablite, you should have first told Hashem that you want us to accept the Torah, Maksivoch, what is written in it, tell us what it is. And then we will see if we can accept it, good. If we can't, then we won't. See, Rashi says, Am a pesiso nimhar. This is a nation which is wild, which is impatient, has no patience. Dekad misa pumaicha ladunaicha, keidim shishamate meiso heyaychi kosho vim tuchla lamid boi kibaltem aleichem lekaimo. But first, you should have listened to Hashem asking what's in it. If it's too difficult, then we say we're sorry, we can't accept it. If it sounds good, then we accept it. What kind of business is this? That kamisu pumaychel danaycho, that you speak before you listen? This is what Ahut Stuki, the Stuki, told Rob. So what does this show? What was this that they spoke first and then they listened? Should have been the other way around. It's okay, he had a good argument. The answer is when Klal Yisrael came to accept Torah, it was a total acceptance. It was an unconditional acceptance. It was an acceptance based on no premise whatsoever, except the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them. He offered it to them. This was the acceptance of Torah. Kabbalas HaTorah, Kabbalas Mitzvahs, means acceptance of Torah, acceptance of mitzvahs. Acceptance of mitzvahs means total acceptance of mitzvahs, in totality. Mitzvah is the word sivoy, command. When you accept the command, a total acceptance means it's non-conditional. It's not based on any condition, on any wisdom, on any premise. Acceptance of mitzvahs means levatel l'ritzein hamokom, where you totally void and cancel out your own personal desires to the desires of Hashem. So what does it mean that they should come and say, let us hear what you have to offer, and then we'll tell you if we can accept it or not? That is not a Kabbalah Shlema. That's not total acceptance. Somebody asks you, will you abide by my command? And you tell him, let me hear what it is. Then you're making conditions. If it sounds good, if it sounds like it's something that's wise, and you do it, then you're not doing it because he has commanded you. You're doing it because it's wise to do it. if it's something which is very appetizing, he offers you something which is appealing, and you decide to do it, you're not doing it because of his command. You're doing it because it's desirous to do. So then you're doing it because of your own reasons. You're doing it because of your own desires. You're doing it because of your own command. That's not a metzuvah and a metzavah. A metzuvah and a metzavah means that there's a one who gives a command and the other totally accepts it. This, and how much more so, if the one that's coming to offer is a great king. A great king comes and says, I want you to do something. So you tell him, whatever it is, I'll do. You totally void your own personal desires to the desire of the king. This is a matzaveh, this is a commander, and this is a mitzvah, this is a command, and this is a metzuvah, this is one who's commanded. But what happens if you tell the king, let me hear what you want me to do, and then I'll tell you if I'll do it or not? See, even if you will do it, you're not doing it machmas tzivuye, you're not doing it because he commanded it. You're doing it because you have decided that it's a proper thing to do. It's wise, it's good, it's profitable, whatever it might be. And Kabbalas HaMitzvahs meant acceptance of mitzvahs in totality. Therefore, there could be no preconditions. And how much more so when it's the Melech Malchei HaMelochim, the King of all kings? And what did this show? The fact that they were Amma Pezisa Nimhar, that immediately they said, whatever you say, Vayikach Sefer HaBris Vayikra Ba'oznei Ha'om, and Moshe took the Torah and he read it in the ears of the people. Vayemru Kol Asher Dibar Hashem Naser Nishma, whatever you have to command us, we shall do, and then we will listen. This shows that there was a natural devekus, there was a natural bond between the king that was commanding and the servant who was accepting the command. This shows that when the servant does the mitzvah, he does it only because of one reason. Not because it's good, and not because it's wise, and not because it's appealing. But only for one reason, because the king has commanded it. This is total servitude. This is a total bond. This is a total beetle l'ritzeinu melech, where a person voids his own desires for the desires of the king. The Medrash tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to other nations, they all and he offered his Torah, they all answered, they all said, Maksivoch, tell us what's written in it, and then we will tell you if we can accept it or not. Because they did not have that bond to Hashem, and they did not have that bond to mitzvahs. And if they would accept it, it would be accepted on the basis that it's appealing. They want to do it, or there's wisdom in it, or whatever it might be. That's not the sheirish, that's not the foundation of mitzvahs. Now we're saying something here which is very, very deep. The foundations of mitzvahs is one foundation. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matzavah. The total foundation of doing a mitzvah is because Hashem has commanded it. That's the total and primary foundation. Everything else comes later. And Klal Yisrael knew this. They knew if Hashem is offering mitzvahs, acceptance of mitzvahs is purely on one basis, that Hashem has commanded it. Therefore they said Nasa. What does it mean to ask, what difference is it what's written? We're not accepting on the basis of what's written. We're accepting on the basis that you commanded it. From here, we see the height of what asiyas ha-mitzvahs are, of what doing mitzvahs, or the acceptance of mitzvahs. It's a far greater height than someone who does because he desires to do. Then that's not the foundation, it's a different foundation. He's doing because he wants to do. Or someone who does because it's appealing to do, or it's profitable to do, or because it's wise to do. But when the Jew does mitzvahs, the first premise is, and the first and the only basic premise, is because kach tziva hamelech, this is what the melech commanded. And therefore there was no place to answer. To answer Hashem back, maksivoch, what is written in it? What difference does that make? Therefore they said, Nasa, we will do. Now tell us what to do. We're ready to listen what you want us to do. This was the Nasa and the Nishma. And therefore, 600,000 angels came down with two crowns. And therefore, a Basco came and said, Mi Gila Rozea, who revealed this secret to Klal Yisrael? Because this is the secret of the Malachim. Because why do the Malachim serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Malachim serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they are true servants of Hashem. Because he commanded. But where does that come to Bosh of Adom, to people of flesh? To people who have free choice? They could have said no. They could have said what's written. And still they came to that same level. You want us to be commanded in your mitzvahs? We accept. Now tell us what they are. So this was the feature of Kabbalah Satera, of the acceptance of mitzvahs. We find, interestingly, that by a ger, person comes to be megayer, person comes to convert. So the halacha is, the law is, that he has to have bris mila, circumcision, tefillah, mikveh. He has to have, bring a korban, a sacrifice during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And he has to have kabbalas ha-mitzvahs, the acceptance of mitzvahs. And the Gemara says why? Is because a ger comes into Yisrael just as Klal Yisrael, just as Israel came into Torah. And all of these things we find by Torah. And which was kabbalas ha-mitzvahs. And then the Gemara says that when someone comes, a bolis geir, wants to convert, Medialehem mixes chamuris and mixes kalis. You tell them, you teach them some of the more difficult laws and some of the more simpler laws, the lighter laws, in order they should have an idea of what they're getting into. We can ask a question. How is it Kabbalah HaMitzvahs? Person, you ask him, do you accept mitzvahs? And they say, yes, I accept mitzvahs. But he doesn't know the mitzvahs. Someone's coming to be Magaya, to convert. One of the conditions is that he has to accept mitzvahs. But he doesn't know what the mitzvahs are. How can he accept? All right, it's true, we teach him a little mitzvah. So you teach him some of the more difficult mitzvahs and a few of the lighter mitzvahs. So those he can accept upon himself. But what about all of the other mitzvahs? The Seder HaDvarim, the order should be that first he must learn all 613 mitzvahs, and then he must accept upon himself the mitzvahs. The answer is that he must accept mitzvahs just like Yisrael accepted mitzvahs. When Yisrael accepted mitzvahs, they also didn't know what the mitzvahs were. And that's why they said, Nasa v'nishma, that whatever you ask us to do, we will do. And then tell us what we should do. And this is the way a ger, a convert, also must come into Klal Yisrael. And there's a difference. Because if you know all of the mitzvahs and you accept them, then the basis of your acceptance is on your knowledge. And that's not a blind acceptance. But if you accept without knowledge, that's a higher level acceptance. That's a higher level of Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. Because that's a blind acceptance. That's unconditional. I don't know what the mitzvahs are, but I accept them. And this is why a ger is expected to accept all of the mitzvahs, even not knowing all of the mitzvahs, just like Israel. Because he also has to come to that level that Klal Yisrael came at Har Sinai and Mount Sinai. Now, we can ask some questions here. Firstly, we have another cloud. We have another great principle in the Torah, and that is La'elam HaTalmud Kodim. Study always comes first. Sha'atalmud mevi l'dei ma'isra. Because the study of Torah and wisdom will bring you to deeds. It would seem, at least superficially, that this is contradictory to what we're speaking about. We're always talking of studying Torah in order to have wisdom, in order to do with wisdom. And here we see that the whole feature of receiving of Torah, with the more ignorance, the better it was. So just contrary to the whole principle of Atalmud Mevi L'dei Ma'isa, La'ilam Atalmud Kodim. A second question is why is it that on Purim they came to a higher level of the Kabbalah Sater than they did on Shavuos? What does Purim have to do with this? The answer to this is, we're not speaking about doing mitzvahs. We're speaking about Kabbalah mitzvahs. There's a difference between the acceptance of mitzvahs and the doing of mitzvahs. On Har Sinai, this was the point of acceptance of mitzvahs. Hashem came and said, "Will you accept my Torah?" And they said, "Yes, we will accept. Whatever is written in the Torah, we will accept." Naseh means that we accept upon ourselves nekabulasis. We accept to do. And then nishma, now let us hear what we should do. When it comes to the acceptance of mitzvahs, there, the less wisdom the better. Because the acceptance must be based on the fact that there is a king that is commanding, and I want to fulfill his command for no other reason, but he is commanding. There's a tzivui. Therefore, the less wisdom, the better. Because the more wisdom, then you might be doing it for other reasons. That's when it comes to acceptance of mitzvahs. Now there's another level. There's another stage, the actual doing of mitzvahs. When we come to doing the mitzvahs after we've accepted upon ourselves nase lekabel, nekabel nase, after we've accepted upon ourselves to do, when it comes to the doing of the mitzvahs, there you have to have chokhmah, there you have to have wisdom. And that's what Talmud is. What is Talmud? Talmud is pirusha mitzvahs, the explanation of the mitzvahs. Because if you have no wisdom, then how will you know what to do? If you have no knowledge, no depth, so then you won't know what to do. Or even if you do, the mitzvah might be wrong, or it'll be shallow. So therefore, la'elam ha'talmud kodim, when it comes to studying or doing, study must come first, because that will bring you to doing. Ha'talmud mevi l'dei ma'isa. And this we find also, we find by a a young boy. That a young boy we find that he only becomes commanded in mitzvahs when he's 13 years old. When he's under 13 years old, he's not commanded. And the Manal Masechet Ovah says why? Because he's not roi lekabel atzivui. He's not capable of accepting upon himself a command. For a bal bechira, for a person of free choice, to accept upon himself totally a command that takes a tremendous gevurah, that takes a tremendous strength. He has to discipline himself to commit himself totally, in totality, to a command. And this a young boy is not capable of doing. Therefore he's a la bar mitzvah. He's not capable of accepting a command. And therefore he's potter mikol mitzvahs. He's free from all mitzvahs. Because the yesod, the premise of all mitzvahs, is a total commitment to the mitzvah. It takes tremendous strength and tremendous discipline. And that a minor doesn't have. We study with them. There's a mitzvah min haTorah to learn Torah with them, to teach him. As soon as he begins to speak, you teach him certain psukim. Aviv Sochimei, father speaks to him, teaches him Shema Yisrael and so forth. Because he does have a seichel. He does have some wisdom. And according to his wisdom, you teach him. In order that when it'll come time that he will be able to accept the command, he will know what to do. There is a Talmud Kodem L'Maisa. Talmud comes before deeds. Because if he doesn't have the Talmud, then when he's ready to accept the command, he won't know what to do. But even that, that's a command on the father to teach him. It's not a command on the child to study. Because he is someone who is not capable of any command. When he becomes 13, then there is a total commitment to mitzvahs. There is an acceptance of mitzvahs. This is also why the Chazal, the sages, commanded that whenever we do a mitzvah, we should always make a brocha beforehand, before the mitzvah, in order to direct the intent of why we're doing the mitzvah. But it's interesting that the only reason given why we're doing the mitzvah is asher kitshonu b'mitzvayso v'tzivonu, because you have sanctified us with your mitzvahs and you have commanded us. We do not make a brocha on the eating of matzah explaining all of the various reasons given for the eating of matzah. But merely we say, Asher kitshonu b'mitzvayso v'tzivonu al achilas matzah, you have sanctified us with your mitzvahs and commanded us to eat matzah. We do not make a broch on mezuzah, giving all the reasons given of what a mezuzah can do for us. But merely, Asher kitshonu b'mitzvayso v'tzivonu likvei a mezuzah, you have commanded us to put a mezuzah in the house. And the same with tefillin. And the same with tzitzis, and the same with lulav, and the same with sukkah, and the same with all of the mitzvahs. Because when it comes to the reason why we do mitzvahs, there's only one reason. There's only one reason why we do mitzvahs. And that's because the Melech Malchei Amlochim, the King of all kings, has commanded us. When it comes to understanding mitzvahs, that we have the Talmud. We have Talmud to study, to give us an understanding in the mitzvahs, but not to give us reasons why we do the mitzvahs. Why we do the mitzvahs, that's one reason. Because Hashem commanded and we accepted. And that's why in all of the nusach, HaBroches Asher Kitshonu B'mitzvayso V'tzivonu, this is a very important premise, because many people, unfortunately, when they do mitzvahs, they have 16 other reasons why they're doing mitzvahs. This could be healthy, and this could be a schooler, and this could be this could bring you good luck. Okay? Yeah, this will bring you good mazel, and this will bring you that. That's not mitzvahs. Mitzvah means a command. An eved does a command for one reason. because the Melech was Metzaber, because Kach Omar HaMelech, this is what the king has commanded. And he's Mevatel Ritzeinu L'Ritzein HaMokom. He voids his desire to the desire of the king. This is why he does it. We are obligated, after we have accepted the mitzvahs, to do totally, without any conditions. Then we are obligated to study all of the wisdom in the mitzvahs. But this is not the reason why we do them. And from here we also understand another reason. In the Gemara there are various reasons given, but this will be another explanation where the Gemara says, Godel ha-metzuve v'eise yese mishe'ena metzuve v'eise. Someone who's commanded in a mitzvah and does it, that's a greater mitzvah than someone who does a mitzvah that is not commanded in. There are some mitzvahs that we are not commanded in, for various reasons. But if we do it, it's still a mitzvah. But the Gemara says that mitzvahs that we do when we're commanded in these mitzvahs are greater than when we do a mitzvah that we're not commanded in. Now there's a very simple reason. Because if I have a mitzvah that I'm not commanded to do, and I do it, why am I doing it? Because Hashem commanded it, He didn't command it. I'm doing it because I desire to do it, for whatever reason it might be. So the greatness of the mitzvah can be no greater than my desire to do it. But if we do a mitzvah which we are commanded in, and Hashem commanded, so why are we doing it? We're doing it because the king commanded. So it comes from a much higher source, a much higher shevus. This is the source of Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, acceptance of mitzvahs. Now, it comes out that we have two approaches now in Torah. We have one approach which comes without wisdom, and we have another approach that comes with wisdom. And this is seemingly contradictory. And actually, many times we find the contradiction. We as Jews hold very clearly that Avedis Hashem, serving Hashem, must be with Chochma, with wisdom. Even the world knows us as the people of the book. It cannot be with ignorance. The fact is, the sages over and over and over says a Jew cannot be ignorant. It says, Le'amor et chosid. A righteous Jew cannot be an ignoramus. If he's an ignoramus, he cannot be righteous. Vein bur yerechet. And an empty person cannot fear Hashem. This, that many times we hear stories that it's possible for a simple person having no knowledge whatsoever to have the greatest fear in Hashem. This, our sages say, is kfira. This is denial of Torah. It's impossible. The Yetzirah and the Satan will destroy him totally without wisdom. He will be misled thousands of times. And this is why the greatest mitzvah in the Torah is Talmud Torah Keneged Kula. If a person could reach high levels with ignorance, so what does he need to study Torah for? The greatest mitzvah in the Torah is Talmud Torah Keneged Kula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that your Torah that you study is more dear to me than all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And this is your wisdom. It is the greatest wisdom in the world. It's from the other world. So there's no doubt that to serve Hashem, it has to be with great, great study and wisdom. So we have an approach of Chochmah. But then on the other hand, many times we have an approach that seems to come without Chochmah. For example, here Nasiv and Ishma, they ask no questions. They chose to remain ignorant of what Hashem is offering, and they said, we will do. Like the claim of the Stuki. He says, first you listen and then you say. You don't talk before you listen. Or, for example, There's many times that when someone will ask us a question, why do you believe in Torah? Why do you believe in Torah? Why do you believe in Hashem? And if you give them answers, you can have a dialogue that'll never end. Whatever you'll say, he'll ask you a question on it. And you'll say this, and he'll ask you this. Prove to me that Torah was given at Sinai, and prove to me that there's a God in the world, and prove to me this, and prove to me that. And the answer is there, is not with wisdom. The answer is there, emunah. Ani mamin be'emunah shleimah. I have full belief that this is the truth. Prove it, I cannot prove it. Emunah, belief, bitochen, trust, is blind faith. That's why it's called emunah. Emunah is not chokhmah. Wisdom is something which can be proven through wisdom and logic. But there's a time when it seems that wisdom and logic ends, and emunah bitochen, blind faith, takes over. Many times people will come and say, why do you believe that just because the Gemara says this, it's true? So you tell them, so what does the Gemara say on that? The Gemara says, emunah is chachomim. One of the prerequisites that a person must have in order to acquire Torah is emunah is chachomim. Blind faith and trust in the sages. That whatever the Mishnah says, whatever the Gemara says, whatever the Moshe says, is true. We have to study and understand what we can, but the premise, if it's true or not, that's emunah chachomim. So we see here that we have two approaches. Sometimes it's an approach with tremendous wisdom, and sometimes it's an approach with a blind faith, a fullness of trust, a total pureness. How do we correlate these two? The answer is, let's see what Rava answered this stuki. He said that you people are supposed to be clever. So why did you talk? Why did your mouth work before your ears heard? You should have first asked what's in it, and then you should have answered. So Rava said like this to him. Omalei, anan disaginon bishleimuso. We that walk bishleimuso in the fullness of trust, ksiv bon, it's written on Yisrael, tumes yishorim tanchem. The posuk in Mishle Yudalef, posuk Gimel. Tumes yishorim tanchem, that the tenimus, the fullness of trust, the blind faith of the Yeshorim. The Yeshorim are the straight ones. Those who go straight, Tanheim will lead them in the right direction. We didn't have to ask, because we walk straight. Someone who walks straight to Hashem and places his trust in Hashem, then Hashem will lead him to the right, in the right direction. So therefore we didn't need wisdom. Hanoch, you though, he told the Tzduki, Inche desagin ba'aliluso, but that you that go with crookedness, you don't walk straight in the eyes of Hashem. You go with crookedness, and you go with cunningness. Ksiv buhu, what does it say? What does Shlomo HaMelech say? And the end of the pasuk is, V'selef beigdim yishadim. The crookedness of those who rebel against Hashem shall be their destruction. We didn't have to ask any questions because we place blind trust in Hashem. And he will lead us in the right way. But you that do not have trust in Hashem, you have to ask the questions. Because you go with a cunningness, you go with a crookedness, you go without trust, and that in the end will destroy you. V'selef beigdim yishodim. This is what he answered him. So he told him that Yisrael goes with another quality. the quality of Tomim, of Tamimus, Shalim, which means to be total trustworthy with Hashem. Tomim tia im Hashem Elokecha, that you shall be total trustworthy with Hashem. How do we correlate these two qualities? Could you open a few windows? I think it's too warm. There are three levels. There's a level of wisdom. What is revealed to us, we are obligated to study and to labor in with all of our might. That's Torah. V'gisa b'yom v'laylo, that we must labor day and night in what is revealed to us, the wisdom of Torah. That's the first level. There's another level which is beyond that. And that what is concealed from us. What is concealed from us, that we are obligated of tumis yishorim tanchem, to walk with the fullness of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fullness of faith of emun and bitochen. And then there's a third level. There's a third level which is known as a chokhmah yisera. Too much wisdom. Too much wisdom. That's where a person starts to go to areas which are concealed from man and tries to understand them with his wisdom. That's a chokhmah yisera. That's too much wisdom for man. An area which he cannot understand with wisdom, and he tries to. And that wisdom is not Joshua. That wisdom is not straight. That is known as Akmimus or Mirmo, Ormo, Ormo Uku. That's a crookedness. That's a cynical wisdom. That's a shrewdness. That's a cunningness. That's the opposite of pure faith and trust. So the Jew is given two ways to serve Hashem. In what is revealed to him, he must delve into the deepest levels of wisdom. But in areas which are concealed from him, there is no wisdom. There comes the area of emuna, bitochen, tmimus. To understand reasons in matzah, reasons in sukkah, reasons in lulav, or the intricacies of the fulfillment of these mitzvahs, that we have gemaras. But to understand why should we accept these mitzvahs, that is no wisdom. We accept these mitzvahs because Hashem has commanded. Only their ignorance is better. Because if there's wisdom in why we should accept, then there's other reasons why we should accept. And when you fulfill the command of a great king, if you're a loyal servant, you do it only for one reason. Because he is commanded. To understand or to prove that there is a God in the world, and that Torah was given from Sinai and things like that, which is beyond our logic already, that's the time for Tomim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. You should be in full heart with Hashem and walk with Him. And therefore Rava said, what do you mean we should have asked Hashem first to explain to us what He wants to offer, and then we will consider it? He says, we walk with trust with Hashem. Hashem said, I want to give it to you. Accept it. We said we'll accept it. Nase. Mekabel lasis, we accept to do. V'nishma, now tell us what it is. But you that walk with mirma, with cunningness, and with pisale selef, with crookedness, you have to ask, and that is your total destruction. So these are the two levels. On Shavuos, when they stood at Har Sinai was known as the Or HaGodol, the great light. They saw more on Har Sinai than any Jew ever saw before. The miracles of Sinai, the Rambam writes, were more explicit than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of going out of Egypt. They saw the heavens open up. They accepted whatever Hashem gave. They accepted. And they accepted with total commitment. And they accepted with blind faith. The only thing is, that blind faith was limited. Limited because they saw. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says they saw the heavens open up. They saw all the great miracles of Sinai. So that Nasa that they said, even though they meant it to be a total commitment, unconditional, but still, it was Mitecha Or, it was amidst great light. So therefore, it could only come to a certain level. Purim. Purim was a different story. The Torah tells us, in Parshas Vayelech, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches, that there'll be a day, Moshe is prophesying, Vanechi haste astir pona bayemahu al kolero asher oso, kifone alekim acherim. There'll be a day when you'll turn away from Hashem, and I will conceal myself from you totally. Astir, astir, b'shtei astores akosu b'daber. I will conceal myself totally from you. On that day, because of everything that you've done, and because you've turned away from me. And the Gemara says this refers to Purim. It says, Esther min ateru minayin. This indicates Esther. During Purim, there was no light. They, the Jews, were in Golos. And they were in a double exile. First they were in Golos Babel, the exile Babel, then they were in exile of Achashverosh. They were in a foreign land. They did not have their Beis Hamikdash. They did not have Eretz Yisrael. It was darkness. They had a double tzora. Two enemies. The enemy of Achashverosh and the enemy of Haman. And Haman had decreed, he had the ear of the king. He was the viceroy and he decreed, Lahashmi lahare galavid iskola Yehudim. Minarva adzokin tapin oshim b'yei mechot. To destroy all of the Jews in the 127 Medina states of Achashverosh, and this included all of the Jews of the world, men, women, and children, shlolem loveis, and to take all of their possessions b'yemechor on one day. So this was a total blackout, a total darkness. This was in the beginning. There was no way logical in which the Jews could be saved, because the die was cast, the decree was sent out. Achashverosh was the strongest king in the world, an empire of the entire world. The Gemara says he reigned from one end of the world to the other. He had given Haman his ring, which was the seal for this decree, and the horses and the chariots and the runners and the messengers went out. There was no one nearly powerful enough to stand up against Haman and Achashverosh. This was in the beginning. So Tchilosei Cheshech, in the beginning was darkness. During the course of the events, a miracle took place. It was still total darkness, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not reveal himself whatsoever. Anything that took place during Purim was totally concealed and concealed again in the darkness of this world of nature. What happened? There was a story with the Chronicles and with Esther and a party and so forth. And this was unlike all of the other miracles, because the miracle of Shavuos was an Or Gadol, was a great light. The miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that not only the whole world, but all generations will know forever that I with my hand has destroyed Egypt. There were the 10 plagues, and there was the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, and everything else that went with it. And even the miracle of Hanukkah, that one could perhaps mislead himself and say that it was merely a military victory, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave his light, and he gave the miracle of the Neris, the miracle of the Hanukkah Licht, which from there everyone saw it was the hand of Hashem. But by Purim, Tchilosei Cheshech, in the middle, in the beginning was darkness, and in the middle was darkness, and the end was darkness. It was total darkness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is not even mentioned in the Megillah. The Gemara gives a reason for this in accordance to Halacha, but there's another reason given, because he didn't reveal himself. And not only that, but the Gemara says, why don't we say Halal on Purim? The Gemara says the only time you say Halal is when you have a Hatzolah, when you have a miracle that takes place which brings you into a great light, like Egypt, Mitzrayim. There it was Mimovis Lachayim. It was from death to life. Therefore we say Halal. But Purim, what was Purim? A dying Avdei Achashverosh Aram. We were saved, but we were still subjects to Achashverosh. So it was darkness from the beginning to the end, and in the middle also. Therefore there was no room for Chochmah, there was no room for wisdom. Wisdom is light, the understanding. And yet there was nothing to it was impossible for the human mind to penetrate in this through logic. Anyone who saw this could not logically explain that Hashem had anything to do with it. If we explain that Hashem was the one who worked this great miracle, then this is only on the basis of Temimus, of blind faith. Of blind faith, of total trust. And Mordechai and Esther had total trust in Hashem. They knew what was happening. And Mordechai said, we can be saved, don't give up. Go to the king. And Esther said, I'll fast for 3 days. And Mordechai went, and he rent his garments, and he was fasted, and he was mispalel, and he davened. And they had total trust in Hashem. And when everything worked out well, through the Mordechai and Esther, and through them the rest of the nation, saw clearly that it was Hashem. They had no doubts. There was no doubts in their mind whatsoever. And what was the proof of it? Because the proof of it, they declared it a Yom Tov to Hashem. And they kimu v'kiblu, and they accepted upon themselves that every year they will keep this as a Yom Tov to Hashem. And every year they will read over the Megillah twice. And they went and added mitzvahs. Why are they doing this? Because although it was impossible for anybody to see, they saw. And they came to such a level of this emuna that they went and accepted upon themselves more mitzvahs. And in the darkness, from the darkness, they made a light. Laihudim haisha ora. On Shavuos, there was light, because in reality there was light. On Purim, there was darkness, and they made from it light. And what was that light? That was not the Or HaSeichel, that was not the light that comes from wisdom or intellect. Shavuos, they saw with their eyes, and they understood. On Purim, they could only see with their hearts. You could not see with your eyes, and you could not see with your mind. But they saw with their hearts. And they saw so much with their hearts that Laihudim Haisa Ora, there was an or on Purim as great as the or as the light that there was on Shavuos. Except it was greater. Because that light came because there was a light. To see a light in lightness is one thing, but to make a light from darkness is greater. And therefore they came to a level of Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, of acceptance of Torah, that was a higher level. Because the Sheirish, the foundation of the acceptance of Torah, is from blind faith. Masiv in Nishma, that we accept. And later tell us what's written in it. But this was limited on Shavuos because they saw. But here where it was total darkness, and they still had total acceptance. This was from the heart. This was from the heart and the soul. And this was the avoda of Tmimus, of where was a fullness of trust in Amuna in Hashem. That's why the Gemara says that they came harder, that what they did on Shavuos, they did on Purim, and even better, even a higher level. Now this level and this approach as it happens is just contrary to the power of Haman and Amalek. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Haman min ha-Teira minayin. Do we have some type of reference in the Torah to Haman, even though Haman took place after the Torah was written, much later? But do we have some type of reference to Haman in the Torah? This is what the Gemara asks. So the Gemara says yes. And it brings from Bereishis Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, that Hashem commanded Adam and Chava, Mikol Eitz Hagan, that from all of the trees of the Garden of Eden you may eat from, except from the Eitz Hadas Tevara. But there's one tree in the middle, the tree of knowledge of good and bad, this you must not eat from. And then the serpent came, and it states in the serpent, V'hanochash hoyo oru mikol achayis. He was oru mikol achayis. What does oru mean? It's from the word anamimus, ormo. Oru means wise, but it means more than that. It means a cunningness, ormo, anamimus. It's not a pure wisdom, but it's a wisdom with a cunningness. It's a crooked wisdom. It's a wisdom, but a crooked wisdom. It says the Nochish was Or Mikol HaChayos. He had wisdom, but a crooked wisdom. And he decided that he wanted to kill Adam, and he will take Chav as a wife. He was using his wisdom for crookedness. So he came with his Orma, with his cunningness, and he came to Chava. To Eve, he said, did Hashem say that you can eat from all of the trees? And she said, yes, from every tree except the Eitz Hadas, Tevara, except the tree of knowledge, good and bad. And why not? She said, because on that day we would surely die if we touch it. She said, if we touch it, we'll surely die, because Adam was hasty, he added, he wanted to protect her further away, distance her, so he said, don't even touch it. So the serpent, with his chochma yisero, which is extra wisdom, pushed her against the tree, and he says, look, you touched it and you didn't die. Just like you didn't die by touching, you won't die by eating. And then he, again with his shrewdness and his cunningness, he said that Hashem doesn't want you to eat from this tree, not because it will hurt you, it won't harm you, but because Hashem ate from the tree, and there, and by here he gained the wisdom to create the world. If you eat, you will be as equal to him. And she saw how beautiful the fruit was. It was a fruit that was nechman leinayim, was good to the eyes and to the seichel and to the taste and so forth, and she ate it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and he says, when Hashem came, he said, why are you hiding? So they said, because we're naked, we have no clothes in. He says, who told you you're naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat from? Now the word hamin ha'etz, hey mem nun, is spelled exactly like Haman. So here we have Haman's name written in the Torah. So the Gemara says, here's a reference to Haman, a prophecy that there'll be a Haman even centuries and centuries before Haman was in the world. So the Maral asks, why here? If the Torah wants to prophesize that there'll be a Haman, why here? So he says, because Hamina Eitz, what are we speaking about? We're speaking about this tree. And we're speaking about the serpent. And we're speaking about the serpent who used his cunningness to get Chava to eat from the tree, which brought death to the world. It was because of that man died. Because without this, man would have lived forever. So he says, first of all, he says, we see this tree had the power of death. And this was the tree that brought death to the world. This is the Eitz Hadas Tevara, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the first thing we see. Second thing we see is Haman has to do with this tree, because Haman also was an instrument that was going to bring death to the entire world. Because he's made a decree, Lahashmi, Laharegala Abbe, to destroy Kola Yehudim, and destroying all the Jews of the world, that will destroy the light of the world. So that's destroying the world. And therefore, Hamina Eitz, Haman's name, is prophesied in this tree. But what does it have to do with the episode? We could ask a question. Why was this tree destined to bring death to a world if it's an Eitz Hadas, if it's a tree of knowledge? Knowledge is a brocha, it's a blessing. Why would it bring death to the world? A second question. They had knowledge before. So what did this tree do? They had knowledge before because Hashem gave them commands. He told them, you can eat from every tree but not this tree. If a person is allowed bar das, he's allowed bar tzivoy. If a person has no knowledge, you cannot give him commands. So they certainly had knowledge before. So what did this tree do? The answer is that this was the tree, Eitz Hadas Tevara. This was a tree of knowledge, of bringing evil and good together. There's two types of knowledge. There's a wisdom that has a purity in it, and then there's a wisdom that brings a mixture of good and evil. This was not the tree of wisdom. Wisdom was given to man. This was the tree of wisdom which would mix good and evil together. Eitz Hadas Tevira. If a person has a pure wisdom, then he seeks to understand what man is capable of understanding. and what is beyond man's capabilities, then he has total trust in Hashem. This is what Rava answered. Tum shishorim tanchem. We understand what we can. What we don't understand, then we rely on Hashem. You ask us to explain to you how to make tzitzis, we'll tell you. We have wisdom. You ask us, how do you know Hashem gave the mitzvah of tzitzis on Sinai? And how do you know there's Hashem? And what's perhaps the hidden reasons why he gave it? And that we say we don't know. So then why do you do it if you don't know? You're supposed to be the people of wisdom. People of wisdom means where man's wisdom can penetrate, we are the people of wisdom. Where man's wisdom cannot penetrate, Tumas Yishorim Hashem, we walk straight with Hashem with blind faith. You know how we know? Because Ani Mamin Be'Emunah Shleima. Because I have no doubts. I have total trust in Hashem. That's why. That's how I know. That's wisdom in its purity. But if you take wisdom and you mix it with Tevara, you mix it with evil also, from there you get Orma. From there you get Chochma Yisera. Wisdom which tries to crawl into areas which are not for man. There you get wisdom that destroys trust, that destroys trust. Wisdom that destroys faith. The Nazis, Yimach Shemo, were the wisest and most educated of the people in their times. And they there used that wisdom against HaKadosh Baruch Hu to destroy faith. I just read the other day where Japan, when they launched the Second World War, had the highest literacy rate in the entire world. The highest literacy rate in the entire world. And with that they decided to enslave a world. That's what you get from Eitz Hadas Tevara. And now we understand why the serpent was called. He wasn't called Hachochem Mikol Achayus, the wisest of all the animals. He was called the Oru Mikol Achayus, the cunningest of all of the animals. He also was destined to for this. And Haman, his name is in this tree, Hamina Itz, because this is the quality of Amalek. Amalek, what are they known for? Immediately after the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, when the entire world heard the great miracles, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, everyone will know that I have destroyed Egypt, Shonu Amim Yegozun, all of the nations heard and trembled. Immediately after, Vayore Amalek. Amalek came to do war with Israel. How could they do such a thing? It states Vayore Hashem, because they had no fear of Hashem. But what did they do with all of those miracles? They used this wisdom, this cunningness, to deny the miracles. They came with all kind of answers. They said, miracles, rubbish. This is a lie, and this is hearsay, and this is a natural phenomena, and so forth and so on. Bela Yore Hashem. This was Amalek. And Amalek, the letters of Amalek are the same letters as Me'ukal. Me'ukal means crooked. There's a wisdom that leads a person straight, and there's a wisdom that leads a person crooked. We must remember this. A person goes crooked not because of lack of wisdom. There's a wisdom that leads a person crooked. Like the Germans, Yimach Shemom, the Nazis, or like the Japanese in the Second World War. That was with wisdom. They fought an entire world. And this was Amalek. Amalek had wisdom. But it was Ma'ukal, it was a crooked wisdom. It was the Orma that came from this tree. And Haman had wisdom. But he was using it like with the power of the tree to destroy the light of the world. And the serpent, if you'll ever watch the serpent, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed the serpent, you find that he never walks straight. Every animal usually follows trails. There's oxen trails, there's deer trails, and so forth. A snake doesn't go on a trail. He crosses the trails and goes through the fields. And even his body constantly goes crooked. Because since this was his, this is what he pursued, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed him with this. And this was Haman. So actually, Purim was the war between the Tamimus in Hashem, a total trust in Hashem, because it was already a place where Chochmah, wisdom, could not penetrate anymore. Wisdom can penetrate with his light. There was no light anymore. So it was a total trust in Hashem, or the ma'ukal, or the crookedness of the wisdom of Amalek. Now the Gemara brings, Gemara says that a Jew should not get involved in superstition, astrology, schoolers. What's the translation of schoolers? There's a word for it. Charms. Charms and so forth. It says a Jew shouldn't have anything to do with those things. And the Gemara says, how do we know? Or lidrei shehasidus, fortune telling, or future telling, Jews shouldn't have anything to do with it. Gemara says, where do we know it from? Bottom says the Shabbos brings the pasuk because it says, "Tomim tiyei Hashem elokecha, kecha." You shall walk in full trust with Hashem. But we study. So the Maral says there's a basic difference. Torah is wisdom. While these studies are not based on wisdom. Wisdom is a study that has logical and intellectual interpretations. If you can logically explain a series of cause and effect, that's wisdom. If you can explain physically how electricity works, that's wisdom. That's physical wisdom. If you can explain spiritually, that's spiritual wisdom. Torah is spiritual wisdom. Mishnah and Gemara is spiritual wisdom. But the Gemara says on kishuf, on sorcery, and on charms, and all of these other things, the Gemara says, "Aimrim ve'einam evinim ashaimrim." They talk and they don't understand what they're talking about. If you'll ever come to a magician or you come to a sorcerer, he says they say all kind of mumbo jumbo, abacadabra. They talk ve'einam evinim ashaimadabrim, and they don't understand what they're saying. They say, "If we do this, this will happen." But explain to me why all that happened. They can't explain it. If you wear this, this will be good for you. But explain to me why. They can't understand. That's the difference between Chochmah, wisdom, and Kishuf and sorcery and all of these other things. So if it's an area where the mind that was given to a person, a light, can penetrate, that's wisdom. That was given to man in his wisdom. And this physical wisdom and this psychological wisdom and there's spiritual wisdom. But if it's an area that the mind cannot penetrate, that's a chokhmah yisera. That becomes an extra wisdom. That's a mimus. That's a crooked wisdom, and that will destroy man. And in that it states, "Tomim tiyem Hashem elokecha." A Jew must have full trust in that. He understands what he can understand, and beyond that, he has total trust in Hashem and finished. It's interesting to note that the Amalek were full of Kishuf. Where do we see it from? In Parshas B'Shalach, at the end of B'Shalach, where they came, right after they came out of Egypt, and they met Amalek. So Moshe said to Yeshua,
May she said to Yeshua, Bechal lonu anoshim. This is a Shmeishu Zayin Pasuk test. Bayimah Meshel Yeshua, Bechal lonu anoshim v'tzei hilochei mamalik. Choose for us men that we can go and fight for Amalek. So what does it mean, men? So Rashi tells us, sheyedim levatok shafim, that know how to destroy sorcery. The fish of Bnei Amalek mechashfin hoyu, because Amalek was sorcerers. Then later on, it states that Moshe had to hold the sun back from setting during this war. Why? He says, Amalek mechashfin es hashols be astrology, because Amalek were astrologers, and they could, with astrology, they could determine the right hour when they would be successful. And therefore they were waiting for that hour to fight against Israel. So Moshe had to hold the sun in order that it shouldn't proceed to that hour. And we see in Purim, what did Haman do when Haman decided that he wanted to destroy Israel? He pulled Purim. He threw a lot. What did he throw a lot for? He wanted to decide on a date. So he should have taken a calendar and figured out when would be the most logical date. No, he pulled pur, hu hagero. He threw the lot, miyayim liyayim, mechedish lechedish, which month would be best and which day would be best. In other words, he was dealing with charms and he was dealing with superstitions. This was Amalek. So Amalek, they, hamino eitz, they came from, their power is from the Eitz Hadas Tevara. That means where there's no emuna whatsoever. There's no faith in Hashem whatsoever. And by them, either they can understand it, or they go with superstition or kishu for charms or whatever it might be. And the level that Yisrael has to strive to, which was the level before the eating from the tree, that was a level which is beyond Haman, was a wisdom of purity, a wisdom of only good, where we understand good. Where we don't understand, then we believe be'emunah shleimah, total blind faith. And it was this level that they came to, that here it was totally impossible to comprehend the situation, and still they understood totally that it was Hashem. They made from darkness a light. So this was the power that was able to destroy Haman. And through this they came to a higher level of Kabbalah Satera, which is very important for us to understand. Why we do mitzvahs is only one reason. It's only one reason why we do mitzvahs. It's not because it's healthy, and not because it's good, and not because emotionally it's good, and psychologically it's good, and so forth and so on. Why we do mitzvahs is because it's a mitzvah, it's a command. And we were commanded by the Melech Malchei Amalochim, the King of all kings. And this is why we do. And if this is the reason why we do, then we're bonding it to the highest level in the world. If you do it because of a logical reason, then its source is there. If you do it because he commanded you, then his source is there. But then we're obligated after that, Shahatamun Leila Matamun Koidu, to study day and night these mitzvahs. So we know what to do, Pirusha mitzvahs. And so we can understand their depth. And through this, we will even fulfill them better. But when we do the mitzvah, we make the brocha merely Asher Kitshanu B'Mitzvayse V'Tzivonu, that Hashem has commanded us and sanctified us with this mitzvah. So these are the two approaches that a Jew must have. There's a time for wisdom, and there's a time for lack of wisdom. And Purim is when was the Chag of Tmimus, where wisdom could not penetrate. It was Lamala Min HaSeichel, it was beyond human comprehension. There the greatness that Yisrael came to in Purim was their Emuna Shleima, their total belief, and their Tmimus. And this brought them to a higher level than an additional level, a continuation of the level of Har Sinai, and destroyed Amalek and Haman. We should all be zeche to have a Purim Sameach and Simchas and Nisim in Israel.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.